I've confronted hundreds of men over two decades.
I have been in television for 24 years.
I just came to get something to eat.
And I have very seldom been at a loss for words.
Sir, I just came to get something to eat.
Men online looking for children to sexually assault.
What's the motive here? Explain it to me.
No, you're right. It's stupid.
It's an illegal thing.
Yeah, I know. I did a stupid thing.
Men from all walks of life. A doctor, a teacher, a clergyman.
You sent pornographic pictures through the mail. Okay, that's a federal offense right there.
You know I'm in trouble, and I know I'm in trouble.
I tried to get into their heads and understand why.
What pizza do we have tonight?
I want to know who you are.
I want to know a little bit more about you first.
Can I eat first?
Sure, go ahead. Let's see if any of this sounds familiar while you enjoy your pizza.
And ultimately, make sure they face justice.
You ask her if she's a virgin.
I ask everybody all kinds of stuff. It's just talk.
You ask her if she's horny.
What's wrong with that?
You ask if she does anal.
It's a question.
Who are they? Have they tried to prey on other children? And where are they now? These are the predators I've caught. I'm Chris Hansen.
The internet, social media, dating, and rideshare apps all make life so convenient and fun.
Swiping to meet up with someone new has become part of our daily lives.
It's also how many unsuspecting people have ended up dead. I'm Courtney Bell.
And I'm Jillian Lee Garner, and we're the co-hosts of the true crime podcast, I Met My Murderer Online.
In each episode, we share a true story of one such deadly online connection and hopefully how you can avoid it. We hear from all who were involved in the case, the investigators.
They discovered a victim inside the house.
Victims' family members.
Right now, it doesn't feel like life can ever be joyful again.
And sometimes, even the murderer themselves.
You have to decide, okay, what are you willing to do here? Are you willing to kill these people?
If you're a fan of true crime, then you have to listen to season 2 of I Met My Murderer Online on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've always said that the men who surface in my investigations, the predators I've caught, typically don't stand out of a crowd. Yes, there are the guys who might as well have the word predator tattooed across their forehead, but for the most part, these guys look like someone you could be standing next to on a Saturday morning at the grocery store or the dry cleaners, riding on the subway, crossing the street. And to take that one step further, occasionally, albeit rarely, during one of our investigations, a guy shows up to meet a child for sex who is actually known to members of the law enforcement team with which we're working on the sting. It happened just a few weeks ago in Alabama. The episode is out now on Takedown with Chris Hansen on my streaming crime network, True Blue. Dustin, a guy in his 40s, showed up. His parents were well known in the community. His father was a juvenile probation officer, the mayor of a small town in Alabama. There's a building named after the father. The mother was well known. And here's their son at our sting house trying to meet a child for sex. He was also known to the chief deputy of the Blount County Sheriff's Office. Because as a man of faith, that chief deputy was involved in a rehabilitation program for guys who've had trouble with substance abuse. He had taken this man, Dustin, into his home, introduced him to his family, thought he was on a better path in life. And here he is, face to face with me, after trying to run, getting tackled, handcuffed by the sheriff's office. But that wasn't the first time someone surfaced who was known to law enforcement in a different way, not just in a way where, you know, okay, we busted this guy again, or he was in the chat room last year at this time, chatting up a child or a decoy posing as a child, but he didn't show up. Back in February of 2023, we were embedded with the Polk County Sheriff's Office in Florida on a sting. There are multiple locations, one of which was a hotel. And one of the men who showed up was a 25-year-old named Leo Cintron. And he was fairly well known in the community, in the athletic world at least, the baseball world, because he was an umpire. And as is the case in many places around the country, law enforcement, deputies, officers, detectives, they're very active in their community, coaching, sports. And this is a good thing on every level. It turns out that Leo Cintron, who was an umpire for high school and college baseball games, Little League before that, exposed to children, also worked a couple baseball games with the man who runs the sting operations, the human trafficking operations as well in Polk County, Lieutenant Bobby Kirkpatrick. They were umpiring the same games. And so when Leo showed up in our sting, and I'll get to the details in just a moment here, it was not just a shock for us that somebody who was an umpire who had dealings with children at some point, it was a shock to Lieutenant Kirkpatrick as well. More on Leo. Now, the interesting thing about Leo, and you'll hear this in his own words shortly, Leo doesn't come clean in my interview with him about being an umpire. He suggests that he's in media, which had me thinking for a minute that, you know, maybe he was a reporter, a television personality, weatherman, something like that. That was not to be. What was clear was Leo's intent back on February 7th, 2023, at about 6:25 in the evening. Using the screen name Hey25, Leo gets online, one of the social media dating platforms. And he starts chatting with someone who will eventually identify himself as 13-year-old Nathan. Leo starts off, "Hey, what's up? I'm pretty laid back and looking for people to hang out with." He sends 5 selfie photographs. He's wearing clothes, and we can tell he's an adult male. Decoy says, "Not much. You?" "Yeah, I could. How old are you?" "Dang, you look young," says Leo. "I just turned 25, LOL. "Thanks, ha ha ha." "Nothing much, just chilling in bed, bored, trying to find something to do." "You got any pics?" he asks. "I'm almost 14, says the decoy, Nathan. "I hope that's not too young for you." "Oh, well, do you care?" says Leo. "I'm cool with it as long as you are." So right up front, in the very first seconds of the conversation, the decoy declares the age. There's no talk of sex yet, it's just hanging out. It's creepy, but maybe not yet illegal. Decoy says, "I'm trying to upload pictures, but this thing is slow AF. "I don't care if you don't care." "Okay, bet. Smiley face," says Leo. The decoy sends a picture of a 13-year-old boy. "I don't care if you don't care. Sounds good to me." Kiss face emoji, says Leo. Later, the conversation continues. "What's your name?" asks the decoy. "My name is Leo. You, Nathaniel. Call me Nat." "Where are you from?" "Lakeland," says Leo. "You?" What brings you on here? My mom is in some training here in Lakeland, and I'm bored and hungry. She tripping. I don't know how long we'll be here. Oh, damn, says Leo. Leo says, well, any way I can help? I'm not doing anything at the moment. How are you going to help? Says the decoy, LOL. I can take you so you can get food. Help you kill some time. I don't know, LOL. That would be dope, says Nat. But my mom just had some food delivered here in my room. LOL, okay, ha ha ha. Well, I'm always down to hang out, too. Now, I have a hard time believing this is just innocent chat on this particular platform, which has been used historically for quick hookups, that this 25-year-old would just come over just to quote-unquote hang out. Yeah, same here, says the decoy. What is there to do? Honestly, not much, says Leo. There's a lot of parks and trails. Downtown is nice, along with a few lakes around here. It's nice to just drive around at night, to be honest. I drive for DoorDash when I'm bored, so I see it all the time. Oh, that's cool. Well, I don't drive, though, just to bring the point home that he's underage. I do, says Leo. I can always pick you up, and we can go for a drive around Lakeland, to the beach, wherever, LOL. Yeah, that would be cool. What all do you want to do? Says Leo. I'm down for whatever you want to do, says Nat. Just got to tell me in advance what all we doing to get ready. And here it comes. Leo is now going to introduce the idea of physical and sexual contact. We can cuddle if you want. Find a spot around the lake. Lay out and cuddle. If it leads to more, then I'm okay with that as well. Oh, Leo, you're okay with it? The 25-year-old chatting with a 13-year-old who cannot give consent for sexual contact? Or if you're down for it, we can come back to my place. As long as everyone is asleep, we can hang out, watch a movie, and go from there, says Leo. Like I said, I'm down to do anything you want to do. He sends a kissy emoji. I have some weed, too, if you smoke weed. Tonight's my last night to smoke, then I gotta stop till September for work. So apparently, and we don't know what his job is at this moment in the investigation, but apparently he gets drug tested. Doesn't want to have weed in his system. Nat says, yeah, I'm game, but don't laugh at me. But I've never done it with anyone, so I don't know what you think about that. I won't laugh at you. LOL. I think that's cute. Hot. Then he asks if the boy has Snapchat. Sends two selfie-style pictures, appearing to depict the same guy, him. And then there's a break in the conversation. When do you want to hang out? Says Leo. Any specific time you got to be back? Nah, my mom don't pay attention, LOL. Leo wants to meet on this very night. Says he's got nothing to do. He also says he's got four loco. If you want a drink. And a small thing of Hennessy, the cognac. What time, he wants to know. I can go scoop whenever. Dang, you're crazy. I'm only 13, though. I don't really drink, LOL. Just to drive the point home yet again. Then there's more sexually explicit talk. We can start kissing and making out, says Leo. We can start touching up on each other. Cuddle up for a bit. I can give you head if you want. Make it feel really good and make your legs shake. Devil emoji. The boy says, yeah, sounds hot. I haven't given head to anyone. You can practice on me, says Leo. Then Nat asks, what more do you want to do? Leo says, I mean, I'm down to fuck if you want. I mean, that's pretty clear. That's unmistakable as to intent.
More about this predator I've caught in a moment.
The decoy says, so I know you're trying to fuck, but I'm only 13. Are you sure you want to do this? It's cool if you don't. there's a chance for Leo to back out and do the right thing. He's getting ready to start what he considers his dream job. But no, no, no. What does Leo say? If you don't want to, I understand. I'm down, though. So, the decoy gives Leo the address of the location. There's some phone calls back and forth. Logistics. Leo's nervous, as he should be. And here he comes. He pulls his car, a black Mitsubishi, into the parking lot. He gets out. He walks around. He starts to leave. The surveillance team decides to take him down. Now, Leo gets a little scratched up because he decides in the moment to try to fight the sheriff's deputies trying to take him into custody. He just doesn't give up. He scrambles, he fights, he tries to get away, and they have to handcuff him on the ground. So by the time I see him, which is just, you know, less than an hour later, he's still pretty scratched up. There's blood on his face. It looks worse than it is. The bases are loaded, and Leo is on his way to meet with who he thinks is a 13-year-old boy.
I'm here outside of the door.
But he's going to be very surprised when sheriff's deputies apprehend him in the parking lot. After detectives speak with Leo, I'm next up to the plate.
How you doing? I'm sorry.
Pissed.
Why are you pissed?
Tell me why you're pissed. He's got a new job. Got everything straight for once. Me just being horny. I was on Grindr. And just, I wasn't even going to do it. I literally just told myself, don't. Leave, go work, make some money, fine. And then I decided to pull in, and I'm like, and then I was really hesitant too. I really wasn't gonna, I didn't even know. I was honestly just gonna go around, drive by, and then just leave.
Leo tries to convince me that he really wasn't going to do anything. He knew it was a bad idea. He was going to drive around and just leave, but that doesn't make sense to me. Why get in the car and drive over there if you're not going to go through with what you discussed online? And where is your new job?
I prefer not to assume.
What kind of a job is it? Characterize it. Now he's contrite. And again, he's got some blood on his nose and his cheek. The sheriff's office wasn't really rough on him. He just wasn't cooperative. He's really sorry now because he knows he's in trouble with this new job. I ask him what the job was, and he's telling me that he doesn't want to say, so I pursue it a little further. He hints that it's on television.
I'm trying to find a way to say so, not to give it away. Media, I guess I would say.
Media?
Media.
So you work in radio, TV?
It's sometimes on TV.
On TV? So you're actually on TV?
Here and there.
Here and there. And what do you do on TV? Do you do commercials?
No.
Do you do the news or weather?
I just rather not say shit. Honestly, I'm very pissed off at myself. I don't even know if I can get out of this or if there is a way, because I literally started like in a month and I was literally supposed to get a phone call like in a week.
So you were going to get a job like in television?
Correct.
Correct. At this point, I'm thinking he's going to get some kind of a job on television. And he's continuing to be cagey, but I'm thinking, wow, we've just caught someone who is in the media, in my business. And this has happened before. It's never happened in our sting operations, but you see the occasional television personality get caught up in this sort of thing. As I said in the beginning, there's no line of work apparently immune to this. But I have no idea in the moment that he's talking about being a baseball umpire, which looking back, okay, they're sometimes on television if the game is televised. And it was somewhat ironic to me because we're in Lakeland in Polk County. And Lakeland is where the Detroit Tigers have their spring training, their spring league. And I'm a Tigers fan, as you may know, growing up in the Detroit area. And I keep prying trying to figure out where in the media he works. And I point out the irony that if, in fact, he is going to start in television in a month, as he says, that he's now on television with me, having been caught in one of my investigations with the Polk County Sheriff's Office.
And now you're on television with me because you came to meet a 13-year-old boy for sex.
I wasn't gonna pick him up. Like, I was very skeptical and everything. I even said that I was there when I wasn't even there. I debated and...
How did this start?
I was just horny at home.
You were horny at home?
Horny at home, smoked a bowl, weed. That's all I do.
Horny at home, smoked a bowl, got him in the mood. Already setting the stage for impaired judgment.
You have to explain it. Why a 25-year-old guy who just got a job apparently in television.
Yeah.
Gets on Grindr, starts chatting with someone who says they're a 13-year-old boy, and then you come over here for sex.
And I knew I wasn't. I was.
Well, I know, but it's Leo, right?
Right. I know that what I wrote and everything. I even erased the messages on accident. And right there, I even told myself that was a good thing. Just don't even unblock. Block someone else. Then went to the unblocked list and saw the name. And I'm like, start talking. I'm bored. I'm just going to talk.
Boredom, hot, horny. None of those are legal defenses for trying to have sex with a minor. Leo tells me that only on one other occasion did he communicate with someone underage, a 16-year-old, whom he blocked. After a sexually charged conversation.
Let's you talk about oral sex. I want to f*** you, you say.
No,
you're very aggressive.
Because I thought that's what the person wants.
What the 13-year-old boy wanted?
I wasn't thinking 13 at the time.
He made it very clear he was 13. You knew he said he was 13.
And I was even telling myself, like, this is ridiculous. Don't do it.
Now, this interview is taking place in a mobile command center that belongs to the Polk County Sheriff's Office. And Leo is being pretty cooperative with me. And I'll find out in just a few minutes here that he actually knows who I am. He's seen the shows, the Predator investigations I've done over the years. And he applauds my work.
Help me to understand where this came from, this drive to meet a 13-year-old boy for sex.
I honestly, at first, it was just me being horny.
Just you being horny?
Just me being
with a 13-year-old boy?
I don't know. Like,
I
live here, and it's usually dry, so meaning that there's not a lot of people here. It's usually the same people.
He says the area is quote-unquote dry, meaning there's not a lot of easily accessible friends who are gay who he can meet online. I don't know if I buy that. As I mentioned, I wasn't sure at this point if Leo knew exactly who I was, but he did all right.
If what you've heard shocks you so far, join us back in a moment.
There's something you need to know. I'm Chris Hansen.
I know. And I've seen it. And I always say those guys are scumbags. And look at me. That's crazy.
That's right. When he's watched the previous episodes, he said, oh my God, those guys are scumbags, fucking scumbags, to use his precise language. And now, what does that make Leo?
What should happen to you?
Honestly, I really didn't do anything wrong. Yes, I was talking to someone about
meeting up. You broke the law.
And I didn't know that just talking to them would affect that. Just cancel this.
But your intent was to have sex with you.
Yes, but I wasn't going to. I really wasn't. I was
but
so
that's
stretched.
Not what the chat said.
No, you're right. And the thing is, that just the talking, the dirty talk, that does get me off. Well, not get me off, I mean, it
excites you.
I guess, to say. But that's with anyone, whether they're off. Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
What should happen to you?
Honestly, I really wish I could just be given a second chance, and I will never put Grindr on my phone again. That it's not even worth it.
Leo tells me that he should be given a second chance, that he'll never offend again. Do you think that's possible? Maybe. I know he was scared. I know he was sorry, at least sorry he got caught. But what would have happened had there been a 13-year-old boy alone and Leo showed up with weed, alcohol, in his state of horniness? I think you know what would happen. I think Leo knows what would have happened.
I f***ed up, man. I really did.
Okay. Is there anything else you want people to know?
I just don't know. I'm speechless. I'm sorry. I really am sorry. It's not what it looks like, I swear. I literally just told my friend I'm not going to be making a stupid decision. And look at what the f*** I did. I just want to be able to get out of this. I know I won't be able to. I literally just lost the best job in the whole world. I don't even know what to do anymore.
And what's the lesson of this, according to Leo?
And I know better than that. Don't do it.
Leo is now coming to grips with the fact that he really messed up his life with the decision to come over here. People always ask, do you feel bad for some of the guys? Well, yeah, of course. I'm human. But do I think he would have harmed a child? Yes. If not on this night, on another night. And why did they do it? Some of these guys, these alleged predators, get to a point where they need to fulfill the fantasy. It's an addiction. But it's not an addiction that just harms themselves. This is an addiction that has the potential to alter a child's life forever. And so while sometimes I liken this to a heroin addict who will take the chance that there's fentanyl in the heroin and they will go buy it anyway and use it, just like predators know there's a chance they're going to walk into a sting, but they do it anyway. The difference with the heroin addict, they're only hurting themselves for the most part. For this kind of addict, the predator addict, they have the potential to harm a child for life. And that's a big distinction here. Now, after I interviewed Leo, I talked to Lieutenant Kirkpatrick, as I mentioned earlier, and he was shaken. Truly shaken. This man who's been in law enforcement for a long time, seen it all, done it all, shaken that someone with whom he worked, doing something so good for young people, kids, umpiring baseball games, could end up in a sting like this. Listen to a little bit of what Lieutenant Kirkpatrick told me that night.
This latest predator, his name was familiar to you.
It was.
Explain that.
So one of the guys had referenced that they thought he was somewhat familiar because they thought that he had perhaps umpired or officiated. I heard that. I said, what's his name? And they said, Leo. I said, wow, this is somebody who I've known since, I believe he was 15 years old when he first met. Certainly 16 years old. So it's shocking. I mean, we never know who's going to come in, you know, through the door. We never know who's traveling to see us. But this is somebody who I officiated high school baseball games with. Together, we were on the same field, and yeah, I'm a little taken aback right now, just, again, baffled.
Did you ever suspect him of being involved in any kind of activity like this?
Absolutely not. He was, he's always a very jovial, good-hearted kid.
Does it worry you that somebody who's capable of trying to connect with a 13-year-old boy for sex is working with kids?
That's the very unfortunate thing, because, again, it makes you wonder, did he have deviant thoughts or alternative, motives when he was out there officiating the games. I know he had a passion for baseball, but again, did he really have ulterior motives and what his intentions were?
Perhaps Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd summed this case up best at a news conference announcing the results of the sting.
But let me introduce you to some of the people that we arrested. For example, here's Leo Cintron. He's from Lakeland. His claim to fame, according to him, is he's an umpire. He's umpired high school games, college, D1, Division I, Division II. He wants to be a professional umpire. He claims to have umpired or some of these, what I would call farm league professionals. He traveled to meet what he thought was a 13-year-old male after grooming online. He too was very graphic. He lives with his parents, and now he's charged with significant crimes. He bonded out of jail. This is a nasty, nasty guy.
Nasty, nasty guy. Leo was charged with traveling to meet after using a computer to lure a child, attempted lewd and lascivious battery, attempting to engage in sex with a minor, and unlawful use of a computer. Leo has pleaded not guilty and is due back in court in late May. We will keep you posted.
More of our story in a moment.
As always, I like to hear from you. And this week's question comes from Caleb Varga in Nashville.
Hi, Chris. This is Caleb from Nashville, Tennessee, but I'm originally from Connecticut. My question for you today is in regards to the transcripts. When you present the transcripts to predators, I've noticed that a lot of them will completely turn around the chat and say that it's something completely different. Jeff Sokol and Michael Gentile are the first people that come to mind in my head where they'll make up something that is completely untrue and false. With Gentile specifically, he was saying how it was a 30-year-old role-playing to be a minor when that was nowhere in the chat. And he stuck to that story till the very end. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me how, when provided with those transcripts, that they still stick to their story no matter what, even though you have the proof. Same thing with Jeff Sokol. He was denying absolutely everything you said, even though it's right there. And those are just the first two of many that come to my head. I'm really curious what you think and how they think sticking to their story is really going to work out for them. Thank you so much for listening. And if you ever find yourself in Nashville, I would absolutely love to take you out for some hot chicken and maybe catch a Predators game. Thanks, Chris. Love what you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you, Caleb. It's a great question. The crime almost always is committed initially in the chats, in the transcripts. And those are the alleged predator's own words. But to your point, Caleb, I think that these guys, in many cases, before they arrive at the sting house or the location, they've already thought through what is going to happen if they get caught, if this is a sting, if it's law enforcement, if I'm there. What am I going to say? Here's what I really meant. And they create their own alternate reality to justify in their own mind. Now, they know the difference between right and wrong. They know this is wrong intellectually. But they have this inner drive, this fantasy, this need to fulfill that involves having sex with a child. And so they fix their own reality around fulfilling that need. And so if it's to have a marriage contract like Jeff Sokol did, that in his own mind somehow made this legal. If it's one of the predators saying, oh, this is just role playing. If that's the case, then why not just say, I need proof you're actually 30 and not a child. If you're so concerned about the child that you would show up, why not call 911, Child Services? I'm sure they'd be glad to respond to concerns about a teenager home alone, open to the idea of sex. But the transcripts are the transcripts. Proof, evidence, strong evidence, hard to refute in a courtroom. Thank you, Caleb. Nashville's a great town. I will actually be in Nashville at the end of May, early June, for CrimeCon, which is a huge annual event that goes from city to city, where fans of crime content, crime stories, podcasts, and content creators and members of law enforcement all converge in a 3-day event. You can check it out online, CrimeCon. It's very cool. Great way to connect with people who consume our content. As for the hot chicken, that sounds pretty good. Some barbecue, too. Thank you, Caleb. As always, you can find me on Instagram at Official Chris Hansen, X at Chris Hansen, TikTok, Have a Seat with Chris Hansen, Cameo, should you desire, and on my streaming crime network, True Blue, TRUBLU, watch trueblue.com for details. New Predator investigations, one just out from our sting in Alabama with the Blount County Sheriff's Office, where we heard an excuse from a predator I have never heard before as to why he couldn't have actually had sex with a child. Watch the segment, but he essentially tells me that after everything is over, after my interview, after the initial interview with law enforcement, he tells me that he couldn't have done anything because he shot himself in the penis while cleaning his gun. Check out the details. Shocking. And as always, you can reach me right here at chris@predatorpodcast.com. I'll be watching and listening.